Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first lesson is from the Old Testament book of Ruth. It's a very lovely story, and I hope that some people would at least read the book. It's only four chapters long, take you less than 10 minutes to read it, and you could get the real story rather than the Classics Illustrated version that we'll be reading you today. I don't know who does the editing of these things, but hopefully our priest will expound upon it. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now, here is our kinsman Boaz, who's a young woman you have been working. See that he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies, observe the place where he lies and then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid her in her bosom and became his nurse. The woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is a short one this morning, Psalm 127. It is found in the insert in the bulletin. And please respond with the even-numbered verses. "Unless the Lord builds his house, their labor is in vain who built it.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, in vain the watchman keeps his vigil.
It is in vain that you rise up so early and go to bed so late. Vain, too, to eat the bread of toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a gift.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth.
Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he contends with his enemies in the gate."
Our epistle this morning is from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place, year after year, with a blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer, again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once and for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Teaching in the temple, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he calls his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Great Comforter, today join us and teach us the meaning of full reliance. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice, hearty good morning. Now, I know it's not 40 years in the desert, but these past 8 years of wandering for me has brought me to this very sacred place. We're on Friday night at sunset. We processed down this aisle toward our cobalt blue lake to join the Sacred Order of Deacons, an order which started by a dispute over how to feed the widows. Stephen and six others offered their hands, feet, and even their very lives. This is some serious stuff. And I am humbled to join this sacred order, surrounded by disciples who share a global faith, where eyes are rubbed during morning prayer or silenced during contemplative compline. I embrace scripture. I embrace tradition. I embrace reason. I embrace the ancient rituals, the saints, pilgrimage, and today, yes, today, I embrace St. John's. The coffee hour spread is obviously mythical. But what you can't find everywhere is community. And Christ's community. And people who care and love about each other. And I'm sorry if I choke up, but you have been Christ to me in this time. It's been a long go, and I appreciate every single little encouragement any of you has ever given me. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria, for being patient with me, for guiding me and giving me that little bit of wisdom when I need it. It's been pure love from you guys. And as John so happily pointed out, our lectionary scriptures are sometimes a little weird. They get cut off at different times. We got half of Naomi last week and half this week. Last week, Eric preached a little bit about Naomi. And last week, he didn't talk about the scribes that we're going to talk about today, actually. So our lectionary, somehow we're going to interweave all this together. Like those deacons of the early church, our scripture today draws on the issue of widows. Specifically one widow. A widow who does not utter a word in our scripture, but as Jesus points out, drops two copper coins into the temple treasury. She only gets four verses in Mark, but these verses are the virtual close of Jesus' public ministry. This is highlighted best, in my opinion, only by the vivid colors of the lovely Sunday school room where there are enormous, large felt boards. in the 80s, we still had them. I just heard earlier we had them in the 50s too. But everybody knows these felt boards where all of the grass is green and all of the flowers are purple and beautiful. These very boards, they virtually imprint on every child's soul who sees them. We all know these. I hope we still have them here. We may. If a story made it to the felt board, you knew it was super important. Creation, Noah's Ark, and then we have bearded Jesus and the disciples kind of huddled together on the side in threes. And currently in our picture today, they're sitting in the temple courts across from the treasury. So if you can picture, there's a box right over there they're looking at. There in the temple courts, Jesus uses the time to teach about humility, pride, folly, and arrogance, displayed specifically in the social class of the scribes. Somehow, without the help of ticket scalpers or StubHub or any other internet, the men who were known as scribes wore these long, very long, clean robes and had the best seats at political parties and business gatherings. Luke also mentions the story of the widow's mite, but Mark's sensitivity will note here, he has extreme sensitivity to injustice, and he reveals a harsh economic system, which is stated in verse 40, if we look. They, the scribes, devour widows' houses. Wow. Quite the bold statement, Mark. Kind of scary even. But what Mark knew and what Mark saw and what Jesus was pointing out to us is the established economic system at that time, women who lost their husbands and had no sons had little to no options. They could own no property, and they could find themselves bereft and sometimes homeless, but almost always hungry. Here, Mark suggests that it is the broken economic system which allows the scribes their vanity while the widows starve. One commentator even specifically points out that it is very, very easy as we read this to hate the scribes. That's the easy part. It's easy to go, oh, those guys, they're horrible people. They devour widows' homes. Come on. But if I look a little closer, my first Sunday as a deacon, I'm standing here wearing a long robe. Later on, we will pray a very long prayer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the awe that we get to stand here with. Acolytes, priests, deacons, all of us. And what's interesting about the widow is if you think about where Jesus gets this from, where the widows might actually come from. It was almost as if Jesus had a specific, significant experience with both scribes and the widows. Possibly, a young Jesus spent hours observing, listening, learning the system of the faith of his people. He personally probably knew the names of scribes. He personally probably knew widows from his village who had suffered under this economic system themselves. He probably knew a widow who had given all she had even before he saw this widow at the temple courts. But Jesus had a contrast in mind to make his point about reliance on God. In the midst of the throng of people passing by in the temple court, you could hear the squeaky wheels of old commercial carts and the bay and the ninny of the horses and the donkeys and the sheep. And there is this little woman full of years. She shuffles up to the treasury. No one's watching. It's a normal day. But she walks up there, reaches deep into her purse, reaches to the very bottom, and pulls out these two coins. All she had left. Without thinking about it much, she drops them in. No one notices. But Jesus has been waiting for this for a long time. This is his last parable in his public ministry. The last time he's going to give these before the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's arrested, before the crucifixion happens and the resurrection. Jesus sees this woman and he points her out, and Mark specifically puts her here within Scripture to show us what full reliance looks like. And you can almost imagine that distinct copper sound when she dropped it into the treasury, the ting. You know what that copper ting sounds like? That ting to her, to the widow, for her it was a sound of utter dependence, a full reliance, an act of devotion, and I'd venture to say even an act of love. For as Jesus points out, she put everything she had, all she had to live on, the scripture says, all, everything. A choice the widow made to not have all of the answers, or even know where her next meal might come from. But why not choose faith? You see, the widow is less an example of a monetary sacrifice and more of the spiritual discipline that we have of offering. In her case, not a normal tithe or a special offering for a new deacon, but all she had, all she was, a gift of God for God. This was not an act of guilt or an act of shame or even an act of charity. But with those two coins, she boldly stated her full reliance. For she knew her God simply to be reliable. She had taken the time. She had prayed. She had had a family. And she knew her God to be reliable. And she offered herself in full reliance. And personally, I'm inspired by her. I'm inspired that the widow understood the spiritual discipline of offering. And today we get a chance to look at it face to face. And be reminded of Naomi and Ruth and all the other widows that are mentioned in the Old Testament. It is very hard to read the Old Testament without reading about the widows, because they represented whom God cared about and whom God wanted to care for. So let us now, out of devotion, offer our full reliance on God. With money, yes. But not alone. Please, not alone. Let it be in our business decisions, our political choices, or even our visit with the doctor for those dreaded test results. Let us rely on a fully reliable God. Let us feel the love God has for us, and respond with our offering of full reliance. Amen.